Hi there, it's Dom from Sheep Farm, and this is a bonus edition. This is episode 146, and last week we interviewed Shannon Rowan, who's been on a few times with us. She's a prolific author of a book this year, actually, it came out, Shots Fired, it's called, about the jib-jabs and the history of arm spears as well. And she's also written a book with John Hamer and called Welcome to the Masquerade. She wrote that last year, I do believe, with John, who's also a frequent visitor to Sheep Farm's podcast. The reason we recorded this episode is because a couple of months ago, Shannon emailed us and told us she'd been, not evicted, but had to escape a wildfire in where she lives in California. And now it was an interesting conversation on the back of the Hawaii stuff. So we thought it'd be good to get an hour down and hear her story of how she had to move out of her house for 3 weeks and the nonsense that surrounded all that. This won't be available on YouTube as usual because of you know why. It'll be available at sheepfarm.co.uk, sheepfarm.co.uk, also available at Podomatic, who distribute it out to Google, Spotify, Apple, Audible, etc., etc., and a few others. This is a bonus hour, so it's only an hour. So any members looking for hour two, you won't find it. This is going out on Wednesday the 11th. But welcome back to another episode of Sheep Farm, and we've got another returning guest with us. We've got Shannon Rowan back with us, and she's had quite an eventful last month or so, I would say, which she's going to enlighten us with. And obviously, I'm joined sadly with my brother, or Chris. Sadly. Normal welcome.
Not bad. There's no need for it, is there?
Of course there is. It wouldn't be normal. Constant put downs. You've had it for about, 50 years now?
Yeah.
You were 50 this year, Shannon.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm 51 this year.
Yeah. Well, I'm. Wow. Yeah.
When's your birthday, Shannon?
I'm older than you. August 72.
What? Right, I'm July 73.
If I have to tell everybody the exact date, they're going to look up my everything about me. They'll know too much.
Yeah. Right.
I can't tell them exactly. I'll tell you off here.
Well, I was right. I was born right at the end of the 60s, so 1969.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you guys were younger than me. You're so youthful. Your behavior.
Cheap cameras. It blurs cameras, out.
Yeah. It's Botox and I think that actually makes people look older.
Yeah, it does eventually look really weird.
It actually makes them look sort of ageless, doesn't it? In a sort of formica sort of way. Mm.
I went to Spain this year, and I saw quite a lot of. It's quite shocking the amount of it you see around now, actually, especially on young girls. When you think, do you need to, pump your lips up and get fillers when you're about 20?
No.
You know what I mean? I don't know. It just didn't make any sense, does it?
Well, I can understand.
Everyone looks the same as well.
Been in an accident or what have you. I can sort of understand all that side of it. Even people, dare I say, getting older. But that's what it used to be. It used to be Joan Collins or someone like that because they were going south, so they used to say, and that's why they used to have these facelifts, isn't it? Now it's getting to the point where people in the teenage years are having these things done, lip fillers. You don't need them, Chris, lip fillers.
I asked the youngster at work about that, and they said it's because it's preparing them for getting older, so they won't age as bad. I beg to differ.
To differ because I think the faces will look like a sack of spanners. Because they go right lumpy, don't they? They get them hamster cheeks, goat lips. Like they've just been stuck on, like
They all look
Mr.
the same.
Potato Head.
They all look
Yeah.
to look the same. That's the
Yeah.
strangest thing.
How have we got
That's
into this
pretty
conversation?
scary.
I don't know.
I don't know, but it's frightening. I actually like gasp in horror when I see some of the stars. I kind of grew up with these Hollywood stars, and then you haven't seen them in a few years. I watch something and I go, oh my gosh. Whoa. And it's like, yeah.
Well, I
But
see
yeah, I
people
think
like, so,
natural aging is a little bit better.
yeah, I do as well. Like my wife's mates, you see some of them and they're like, ooh, they've changed. I don't even recognize them. Don't
Maybe
recognize them at
sisters,
all.
isn't
You know?
it? Because
Yeah, they've just
they're
got this
messing
like
around or just
frozen look on their
frozen in
face.
time.
Just stay the same, don't they? But it, I mean, it is part of the. I mean, like the tattoos and all this other stuff. It's all part of that transhuman agenda to I suppose,
Mutilate
defuck
yourself.
humans. Pardon?
Mutilate
Yeah.
yourself to an
Mutilate
extent.
itself, yeah. But somebody somewhere is rubbing their hands together, not just necessarily from a financial aspect, but it's all part of that. Especially that since 2000s, hasn't it? I mean, over here we had David Beckham tattooing himself right up to his neck, sleeve tattoos down here and all that. I have nothing wrong with anybody having a tattoo, that's their choice. But it gets to a point where you can't even say, "Do you like me tattoo?" Because it's like, "Do you like me whole body?" You know what I mean? Or do you like me arm? But
Well,
anyway.
it's also poisoning their bloodstream with heavy metals, So, I mean, that's the problem. People don't really. I got a tattoo when I was young, and it was very unpopular at the time, so it was very rebellious of me.
That's
And
what it used to be. It used to be a rebellious
and then
statement,
I realized like I poisoned myself, and I thought I'm not going to do that anymore,
wasn't it? Well, it was
But yeah.
rebellious. You're either a rebellious, a prisoner, or in the army.
Yeah, from an artistic standpoint, you kind of appreciate some of that,
Yeah, I
but then
do.
it is
Yeah, from
permanent,
that side of it. Yeah.
and it's permanent, and it is poisoning your body. And there is this like push to kind of like you're saying the transhumanist agenda, but also just to get people to sort of like the self-loathing of like our natural bodies, all this body dysmorphia, all these kids are having, they don't know what gender they are, or like there's so many problems they have with their bodies, and like we're not teaching self-acceptance at all, and also looking past those things, there's so much focus on this physical form and this like ideal of beauty that somebody's dictating to us. We're not deciding these things and coming up with it. I remember as a kid, like a teenager, we thought we came up with these fashion ideas. We didn't know we were just victims to marketing, and that was very orchestrated and like intentional, and we weren't choosing this ourselves. It was definitely put on us.
Yeah,
So.
well, I mean, Mark Devlin. I mean, obviously, he's gone down the music route of being a contrived event. Fashion's just as bad, isn't it? And art,
Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
is the same thing. I mean,
Well,
we
I
were
mean,
talking
look
about
at
Jackson
the,
Pollock, weren't we, Chris? And
yeah.
it's just basically the CIA op
But look at,
operation.
what everyone aspires to, Kardashians, which is literally, I think, probably a coven of witches. I'm not
Yeah.
even joking. They
No, no.
literally
This is
probably are
true.
and look like a coven of witches to me.
Yeah. I mean, just every, I mean, is that what people aspire to be like? Having a
Yeah.
butt
Unfortunately, yes.
like a Frisian heifer? They're bolted on as well, aren't they? They're not even real.
Are they really? I
Yeah,
don't
they're just bolt-ons.
know.
Bolt-on cheeks. Really?
I
Yeah.
don't
It's
know.
Frankenstein, isn't it?
I think yes, freaks. Okay, what I think lately, every time I go online and like ads pop up on articles for
Yeah.
whatever body things, body image kind of stuff, looks like freak show. It's a
Yeah,
freak show.
it is.
This is supposed to be. They're like, look at these abs, and I'm like, ah, women with these like abs, they're like, oh gosh, like don't show me that. That's so scary, or
Why
like
not just go
really
to the
weird.
gym? Go to the
Yeah,
gym.
I mean, just like we don't. I mean, it's just so extreme and exaggerated. There's just no place for just being, kind of in between all of that. You have to be extra skinny or extra large, and like have these enormous hips or like tiny waist with that, like just unnatural forms.
Yeah, it
Just
reminds me of the
ridiculous.
Pink Panther. We used to have them muscle guys on Pink Panther with really skinny legs.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah.
And yeah, when we were in gym, everyone said, "I don't want Pink Panther legs." And it was
Because
that muscle guy.
blokes concentrate on their upper half and leave
Yeah,
the
they
little
do.
skinny
Yeah.
legs at
Yeah. 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 Twig
the
legs. Yeah. I don't want that. How on earth have we got onto this? We weren't
I don't
planning talking
know.
about this
I
anyway.
know.
I quite like that conversation about
Yeah.
transhumanism.
Yeah.
Right. So Shannon's back with us, and we're going to pick up where last time where we were talking about, we only got about, I don't know, 3 or 4 chapters into your book, I think. But we're gonna have to pick that up again, I reckon, at some point. Hopefully pre-Christmas, if you're around. Yeah, we'll do it again. December time or just after Christmas at some point. Before we start, where can people buy your book from and what's it called? You go through it and then I don't get it wrong.
Okay. Well, the recent book is Shots Fired: Vaccine Weapons, Medical Tyranny, and the War Against Humanity.
Just say
So
how
shot, I
it
mean, so shot, you just look up shots fired in my name, you'll find it. But it's actually there's not just I have more than the Amazon
I know
option. You
that.
can
I
go to
know.
Barnes,
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
you can go to Barnes and Noble. And
Right.
just very few people have taken advantage of that so far. So I don't know. I hear all these people want to get off Amazon and I'm giving them the option, but I haven't seen that many sales there. But Barnes and Noble as well, and you can get either print or ebook from both Amazon and Barnes and Noble. You can also, although your listeners are mostly in the UK, I can't do international shipping, but if you're in the US, you can contact me directly at my website, which is wifi-refugee.com, and you can get a signed copy from me at a discount as well.
Right.
So,
So we'll put those contact details in the show notes. If you send me those contact details over, and then people, if they want to have a look at your book, and I mean, you can get a gist of what it's going to be about. And it's a big book as well. It's not another book you wrote with John last year, 2 years ago, whatever.
Yeah,
Times
I guess I'm
have
going
moved
on
on.
two.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, it's like about that size. And this time it's all end notes, references. So there's like actually 80 pages of those and
Right.
about 800 pages total. So it's really delves deeply into the, as the title says, the vaccine weapons and the medical tyranny and the war against humanity. But yeah, it's just the history of vaccination and germ theory history. And so there's a kind of narrative form and an order to it where I'm really trying to make the case for that this has been going on a long time and why, like, everything that's happening now is built on something that happened before. And this is intentional. So no coincidences here. We're not coincidence theorists. We're
Reality
the other
theorists.
kind. Reality here. Truth
I don't
theorists.
really think of this,
Yeah.
and I just sent Dom an email actually. I just put him in up to bed. I was just reading an article, and it was about dogs dying. It is linked, but it was about this. It was an article about dogs dying. I forgot what it was of now, but it said it was this highly contagious disease, and your dog can get it. This woman had got it. A dog had got it. A dog woke up and it was coughing up blood. It had blood all over its sheets and stuff, and then its liver collapsed and it died. And she said, and I don't understand because the dog was vaccinated for this disease. And then she got loads of there were loads of others after that, saying, "Yeah, my dog, I got this and died, and he was vaccinated for the disease." So I just looked at the dog vaccinations, and they have to have this. Oh, there it is. They have 4 core vaccinations, and then they have a booster every year. Doesn't that sound familiar?
Wow.
And
Yeah.
then cats are the same. They're 4 as well. But there's other options after that. These are just the core, what they call them, the core vaccinations. And you can choose to have, I think you can get them vaccinated for cancer and all sorts. But my immediate thought was they died of that because they were given that
Yeah.
by the.
No, Chris, it's to protect them from parvovirus.
And it's like a horror show as well. It's saying, and all the symptoms, the liver, the gut, the liver will collapse and all. Just awful. Like, same thing, just a fear show. And then they've got the answer with 50 quid vaccinations and
Which
a
will
boot.
cause all those horrific things to
Yeah.
happen.
And a booster every
So
year.
I know.
We're getting the same. Not us, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
If
But
you
what
don't think
better
you've
way
been.
to roll all this stuff out than experiment on your pets with
Well,
it?
also, they microchip them, don't they? Now? You've got
Yeah.
to have a
Yeah.
mic, and you've got to have a microchip. Somewhere, I mean, I've got 2 cats, and you have to, well, they're not chipped or jabbed or anything, but you can get them chipped, and your cat flap interacts with it to let the cat in,
Oh yeah, right.
which
Yeah,
makes it
no. And
convenient.
I used to have a dog walking business and we started having clients chip their dogs and then use their smartphones to monitor like the dog walk, and they'd tell us like, look, they only went this place and they were out this long, and so you didn't do the full walk. And I'm like, this is getting too insane. I'm like, okay, I know sometimes the dog walkers don't do the full 30 minutes and they should, but I mean, really, and
Yeah.
like doing this to your dog just to like call us out on that. I mean, it's just insane. But I actually just met this fish and wildlife people up here before we had our fires, and we were going to talk about that. But and I asked what they're doing, like I was curious, like what they do, like with their program of like monitoring the fish populations or whatever. And they said, oh, We have these nets, and we get the fish, and we put the chips in them. The same kind you can get for your pets. We go, yeah, we put them with the chips so we can monitor them. And I'm just like, so, oh, great. So that's even better. You know, now, like, so if I'm fishing and I eat this fish, I don't know if I'm eating like these chips too, you know,
Yeah.
like, I mean, hopefully they do it somewhere in the part of the body. Was not, and I said, how do you know that's not causing them harm? Because I said the pets often, I hear reports that they die from these, you know, and they get tumors and they get cancers. Like, isn't that maybe you're harming the fish? And he's like, well, you're right. We don't do like long-term studies, so we don't really know. I'm like, oh, great.
Again, it all sounds very familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it all sounds like a eugenics program.
Well, I mean, they were the test subjects for what they want to do to us, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's our food source too. And it's just like all in the name of like protecting the food source, they destroy it. So, you
And
know,
this comes
usual.
back to that compartmentalization. These people probably think they're doing good to the fish. Yeah. And the higher ups there are thinking, well, fish, humans eat fish. It's a good way of getting a chip inside them. And
Yeah.
they wouldn't know that, would they? A bit like we were
No.
talking earlier, Chris. Chris, during the 2020 nonsense, worked in a care home, didn't you? He was a chef in a care home. And just tell a story about the chlorine.
I don't know if it was chlorine, but I was working in this care home and a guy came around. I was literally in a room on my own because no one worked there. And I was just pulling up, going in there, cooking for all these old folk and then leaving. It was quite a nice job, actually. I quite enjoyed it. But a guy came in one day and he was checking, I've just got to check the, and he ran all the water and he's like, I've just got to run all the water. And he came back like the second time and I said, what are you doing there? And he said, oh, we send this off to a lab, the sample of the water. And if it's not right, we just put all this stuff in, this chemical in.
You
He
told me it
said,
was chlorine.
did I? It might have been chlorine then, I can't remember though. But he said he ch chucked, if the levels weren't right, he chucked loads extra in and he had to wear rubber gloves and a gas mask. I said, well, isn't it poisonous? He said, no, once it's in water, it's all right. And this is at an old people's home. And I'm thinking, I know I'm a suspicious person, but then he must have told the same story to his wife because my wife won't drink tap water.
He said that.
Yeah. He said his
Yeah.
wife wouldn't drink it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But literally a tub full of skull and crossbones on it, straight into old people in the
Yeah.
water tank.
Oh, yeah. I
Nice.
mean, that's what
All right, once
it's
it gets
because
in
of
water, though.
germs. You got to get protected against germs, you know,
Yeah.
viruses, bacteria, they're so
Oh, yeah,
dangerous.
it just
So
protects you.
you got to
Why
protect
don't we just leave all this
you.
stuff to nature? You know, if
Yeah.
we're going to go, we're going to go out. We'll be all
But
right.
why not just
Yeah.
filter it? Filter the water.
Yeah.
Filter it
I
properly,
know
as how
that
it
would be
needs
better
filtering.
than,
Yeah.
yeah.
Or we'll just put a noxious, toxic product in there. But anyway. Right, so you've had an adventurous last couple of months, haven't you?
Yeah, I was gonna say, speaking of water, we're a little concerned right now that when they were fighting the fires around here, that they're dumping chemicals everywhere, you know, which I've found out just talking even to people in the Forest Service that these are not very effective. The fire retardants, like, they don't really work. They work in very limited situ like circumstances, like water's a lot better, or just other, you know, methods like making burnt like lines, dirt lines, you know,
Yeah.
cutting trees down to make the breaks, like. But they will use them still anyway. And I imagine they have contracts with these companies. And, you know, I
Was
mean, because
thinking
this is,
that.
there have been lawsuits already with the
Not just
EPA, which
contracts,
is
but targets.
targets. Yeah. So this, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency here,
Nice
they've
name.
been sued. Yeah. So we had a Clean Air and Water Act, the year of my birth, 72. And they actually are in violation. It's determined that, like, all this. You know, they do these drops of these fire retardants by air often, and then they've been found in violation of the Clean Water Act in particular, because it gets into the water and everything. And there's these persistent chemicals, you know, call them forever chemicals. It gives you an idea of what they're like, you
Yeah.
know, forever chemicals. Yay.
They're all right once you eat water. They just disappear. Yeah, once you eat water.
Yeah, you know,
Yeah.
and so they decided to make an exception. For because we have to fight fires, right? And also for the military use of it or something, you know, it's like the military is exempt. And but they said, well, we'll agree to like do it at least 300 feet from like a water source, right? Which apparently didn't, because we were finding evidence of that on our property, a lot closer than that to our creek. And we didn't even think about that when we moved back. So let me tell listeners what happened August 15th. So I live in the forest, off grid, Northern California, and you know, yes, we have wildfires. It's, you know, like It's a wildfire area, but not so much our forest. Apparently, we haven't had fires here for 100 years. It's actually a rainforest. It's a temperate rainforest. It doesn't rain in the summer though, so it can get really dry, but it rains almost what up to 100 inches during a year, which to put in perspective, you all get about 30 inches a year in England, and this is almost 100.
Good hell.
So a lot of rain all winter, right? And we actually had ex a good amount of rain this year. We had a lot of snowfall. We had late rain in the spring. We had a really cool summer. So if any of these global climbing warming, changing, whatever, you know, you call it, climate
You're
warming
catching
change,
on global climate boiling change.
I say, want to say, and I've seen some articles already like, oh, well, the summers are getting hotter. The earth's getting hotter. These fires are going to keep raging. They're going to be worse every year because it's getting hotter. It was a lot colder this year
Can I just say
for
one
us.
word to that? Bollocks.
There you go.
Bollocks.
Bollocks to that. So it's colder. Actually, we're in a, you know, we could get into this too, but it is, we are supposedly in a grand solar minimum right now, which means the earth's cooling. But no matter, supposedly, we're still just having more fires because of the climate change and because we're being naughty boys and girls and we're not, you know, we're driving cars still and, you know, daring to breathe and exist. And, you know, so we're the problem, not dumping all this chemical, all these chemicals or accelerants. You know, with the chemtrailing, there's the aluminum particulates that they, you know, this is disclosed. Like geoengineering uses like nano aluminum particles that can act as an accelerant. So I do think there's a lot of things happening here with these fires where, number one, so there's a few points. There has been mismanagement of the forest where they've allowed all this. So they have all these protected areas where they let the forest grow. They're not logging or anything. And not that I'm saying they should all be logged, but there is a kind of management you have to do if you want to minimize fire and fire spreading. And they haven't been doing their jobs. We live in the forest. We know that because we've seen they do pile burning, they call it. So you cut the undergrowth and you make these piles and you burn during the wet season and when it's safe. And like there have been, they cut some piles a few years ago and they've just been sitting there. So they didn't burn them. They didn't do anything with them. They didn't do more of that. So it's been, you know, got very dense. And so, of course, then when there is a fire, like you've got all this fuel. And so there's been all this fuel like left for so long, even 100 years in our forest, apparently, or 60. It's been 60 years since they logged in our forest. So, in any case, so there was a August 15th, it had gotten hot finally. We were actually waiting for it to be summer. It was like cold all summer, basically. And we're like, oh, yay, it's hot. And it's kind of like, oh, it's a little too hot. It was a few days of that. And then there was this freak, like lightning storm came in the morning and thunder and lightning, which like was very rare here. And allegedly, like they have, I don't know how they count this, but like when you look at the fire, you know, report stuff, it says there was a total of 153 strikes of lightning, you know, all over the place that morning between these hours. And I'm like, not sure how you count lightning strikes or how that works, but yeah, so they know exactly how many bolts like hit the ground and where or something, and I think ours may have started with that, but it was only like a mile away and we could see it. So that day, like I didn't even know there was a fire because I was down, we're down lower, and this was up higher, you know, and I didn't smell the smoke or anything. So my partner was out that morning, comes back, and he's like, "There's fire on our mountain," and I was like, "Oh." And he's like, yeah. So, yeah. He's like, you can see the smoke from the road. So we looked into it. We went up the road, and we're like, oh, there's the fire. But it wasn't doing anything. It was just kind of like smoky, and it was a small area. And I looked on the fire map, and it was even saying like after several hours, it hadn't even burned part of an acre, right? And we've got helicopters in the air, so they know about it. We called in, yeah, we know about it. There's a few fires right now. We're on it, like. And so we thought, well, we don't have to evacuate or worry about that because obviously they're going to put it out, right? Because like there's even a road up there, and you know, why can't there's no other, we hadn't had any fires yet this season, so don't we have like lots of personnel ready to take care of it? Oh no, guess what, they didn't have anybody here because they sent our people to Idaho to help with the wildfires there that weren't even like threatening homes or anything. They're just like, yeah, we don't have any resources right now, so we're just going to watch it. They had resources to watch it but not to do anything. So if they had just dumped, we have these like helicopters and small planes that dump water. They have these water buckets. We didn't have one. We couldn't get one for 4 days. And so we decided to start packing for evacuation just in case, because we've been through this before a few years ago. when there was a nearby fire, but didn't they had stopped it in time and everything. But and we were like, okay, let's pack with this like mini 6x10 cargo trailer, you know, that we'd convert it to something like the like travel thing so that we could stay in it if we have to do this again. Because we did this before in a car and it was awful, you know, like 10 days in our truck and like with two cats. And so like, hey, we have the trailer, we have it all packed up, we're ready to go. And then so I go up early and we're like, well, should we stay here tonight or leave? And then I went up in the evening to call again, calling like the sheriff's office and stuff, asking for updates. And they don't have any evacuation notices yet or anything. And then they're like, well, it's up to you. We don't, you know, they did finally say we don't have any resources. Nobody's actually doing anything about the fire. So then suddenly these gusts of wind came up and I was talking to them. I looking at the mountain and I saw the flames just go whoosh and like start spilling down the mountain like so fast because of these gusts of wind. I was like, oh my gosh. So I'm like, okay, we're leaving. I come down and Sam was like, yeah, we're leaving, because he felt the wind change and how crazy it was, like 60 mile an hour gusts, you know, like really strong winds.
Is
We're
that
like, yeah, we're
normal? Are
getting.
the winds normal there, Shannon?
No, we do get strong winds here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not that abnormal, but it had been calm all day. So it'd been perfect timing. They could have put it out. They had like 12 hours, right? And that's like the time they could have done something. And then and they probably knew the forecast that the winds were going to come up, right? And because then it's like, great, let's let it, because then it was windy for days. It was dry, hot, really hot and windy for like 4 days. So the whole thing just spread so fast, and they didn't do anything, no containment measures for like a week. So we just all had to evacuate. We evacuated that night. We left. We evacuated to one spot, had to move again the next day because it came down to the highway. We thought they're not going to let it come to the highway. Nope, came to the highway. They came, like people actually at our campsite were like, you got to get out of here now. And so then we moved again. And you know, at that point we're like, oh, I forgot this thing and I forgot that thing. And oh my gosh, are they even, it's like so close to our house. Is it going to burn down? You know, we had to go, we finally, we just went to the coast because we're like, it's so smoky here and we'll just drive all the way to coast, like 30 miles. And we found a couple spots there, but it was a little dodgy at night with like the human activity, a little sketchy, you know, the areas we were in. So we had a few nights of not sleeping well because of just people coming to these out of the way places to party and get up to whatever, you know. And so then we decided to, we finally found a good, safer place to stay. And we stayed there the rest of the time. But it was, really difficult because I mean I'm electrosensitive and so is Sam really, and we were like in line of sight of these towers. There was nowhere to get away from those. They had closed all the other good campgrounds where we could have gotten away from that because they were like near the forest and near the fires. And then so there were suddenly all these other fires and we still don't really understand how those
That
started,
seems to
you
be a
know.
pattern, doesn't it? Because I
Yeah.
remember the Canadian ones. There were a YouTube channel, Ed from Outer Light, was showing that the fires were setting off at the same time, but they were hundreds of miles apart. Within minutes of each other, you know, several fires were setting off, and there's no explanation to that other than they've been triggered.
Yeah, because these were all in our same kind of like you know, national forest area, but like miles away, and not, it was like a day or two later, and not like during the lightning storm, right? And not near enough the other fires that the other fires started them. Like so there were just these other fires cropping up all in these off-grid communities and all our friends lived, you know, other off-grid communities, and everybody had to leave. And it was like they're like, where. Well, and then the suspicion really arose for most people, not necessarily how they started, but why aren't they doing anything? Why don't we have anybody here? I mean, taxes are really crazy in our state. Why don't we have the resources for firefighting when the fires are like when it's high fire season? Obviously, the hottest part of the summer, driest part of the summer, you've got all these forests. Like, where is everybody? So it took weeks before it was like, oh, now it's a national emergency. We're going to get all the, you know, suddenly we have like thousands of people here. And even then, literally 2,000 people working on this. It became not just like they had these different names for the fires for the different mountains. And then it became the complex. They then start calling the Smith River complex because there were so many. And then I was saying they finally got all this help in, and there were like thousands of people after we had nobody for like a week. And then and we're watching this fire map, and it's just getting, the winds have been pushing it away from our property. It started really close, but it was pushing the other direction. We're like, okay, well, that's good. And then, but then it started to kind of creep back the other way, because then you just get a little bit of a wind shift and come the other way. and we're watching it like get closer and closer, and you can see like it'll show where structures are. So it has like our house, the caretaker house, and then the landlady, you know, owner's house at the top, and we're watching it closer. And then finally one day it just like engulfed the whole thing, and I was like in tears because I thought, oh gosh, you know, I guess it's gone, I don't know. But then we were like, well, let's not lose hope, because it doesn't mean like it burned everything, because the map's just really simplistic, you know, just showing where the fire moved through. We don't really know what it was doing there, if anybody was on the ground. And that's the thing, I couldn't find out if anybody was on the ground doing anything, because like I'm calling, basically the numbers they give the public don't help you, except to say like you can or cannot come through here. We were seeing like for days if we could go the back way. There's a back road that's kind of not so good or maintained, but maybe we, because we're like, oh, we forgot these things. We forgot to secure this. We had propane tanks out. We're like, oh my gosh, you know, and we wanted to just be able to go back and do something about that. And we just couldn't even go the back way. There was roadblocks. But yeah, suddenly there's all these people on the fire. There's a whole encampment in our nearest town, and it looks like an army camp. You know, they've got like all these tents and everything. And but like I had this friend, a local, who kept trying to help when they didn't have anybody. There are people volunteering. He's like, I'm a young, able guy with a chainsaw. Like I can do something. Nope. No, no, you can't. You're not officially whatever, you know, we're the officials. And it's like, we're locals. We should be able to take care of this ourselves and be, have a say in it and be involved, you know? And, it's an emergency and there's nobody here, you know, like, why can't we do this? Yeah. And so he did it just weird because he'd see like groups of men, like firefighters just sitting there waiting to, for orders. And there's this little fire in front of them. And he's looking at it thinking he can go over and kick some dirt on it and put it out. And like, he's not allowed to get near it. Like they're not doing anything, you know? And it's just like, it's just absurd. But yeah, all these different fires cropped up in the following days, like after the storm, with no explanation that we know of. And just a very, but again, like even the normies in town, I overhear conversations all the time. Like, why didn't they do anything? Why'd they wait like a week or more? And as it was hot and windy, it was just spreading everywhere. And so like our, you know, so there were whole towns evacuated. The whole entire county had its power shut off for like a week because they're like, it's coming near the power lines. They're saying, well, that's what happened in Maui. We don't want the same thing to happen in Maui, which isn't like really totally true. I guess you can cut off parts of the power and like you don't have to cut off the whole thing, but I don't know. I mean, so they were saying it's going to threaten the power lines. We had to turn that off. And then it took them several days to get generators into the towns so that more than Walmart and, you know, whatever was open. There were like two stores open. Then people were panicking about they don't have refrigeration and, you know, and in a lot of ways we were better off because we live off grid. We're used to not having refrigeration. We kind of had all of our stuff with us that we needed for camping. And, you know, all these other people who like are used to living in town and dependent on the system didn't have any of that. And they were like more panicked than we were. We're watching the fire, like, you know, like my fire maps, like consume our home. And, but it was pretty, yeah, it was really challenging. It was 3 weeks that we had to stay away.
Wow.
And, yeah, a long time. And
but
is no
it,
water,
isn't it strange, you know, though, how in every occasion that these things happen, that this, it seems to be the same script. There's no news for the locals. You can't get involved. The whole thing's perimeter fenced off or closed off for anybody. They turn the power off. It's like there's a script that says, this is what you've got to do. The firemen are standing on the sidelines. The police are blocking roads that are escape
people
routes.
People want to help. Yeah.
People want to like, help and they're not allowed to help.
It's set up for fail and for excess drama, for more drama, isn't it?
Exactly. So
everything looks, you know, worse, and then they're making it worse, then they can report on it being worse, I suppose, aren't they?
Exactly.
I mean, the Paradise fires, the firemen there were after the event were saying we were ordered to do this. They are following the orders. They can't do anything. Everyone's scared of jumping out of protocol and getting in trouble, aren't they?
Well, like you said, that guy couldn't kick dirt on that fire.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
he's like,
bureaucracy,
it's so
isn't it?
Easy.
Just
like some
destroying
of those
it.
Just, you could just have gotten it, yeah, taken care of right away. But it is, and what we all experienced was this bureaucratic system that all that red tape that actually just, I mean, it's amazing. Like they'd have these meetings, you know, you could come to. So we tried, my partner went to one in town. And he said, I couldn't believe the waste of time. Like this is like the first few days of this too. It's like dire emergency. People's homes are under threat and they're just sitting there going, well, we're assessing the situation and seeing what resources have, what we can do. And they have these long meetings every morning, and they have this set. It's like they have their office hours, and there's these hours, and it's like there's this emergency, there's fire, and they're just like, we're going to do it by this, you know, this is the procedure. And it's like, you're like, whoa, okay, you can see why maybe all this started at some point. They thought we need more order because, like, you don't want pandemonium. You don't want everybody rushing places and causing more problems. But you can go to the extreme of, like, of this system and this micromanagement where they don't get anything done, where it's just like there's so many players not doing it. They're just in middlemen, you know, like, and they're just mostly there to deal with the public, so to calm you down and, like, make sure you don't get involved. And the fact that they're saying they can't do anything about fires when people are flying their own drones is really suspicious, because it's just, there's no way that that's true, that they can't do that. And so the fact that people can't even see, you know, with a drone, with the technology we have to see, not that I'm in favor of drone surveillance, but in this case, it's, like, really suspicious. The rest of the time, they want to constantly have surveillance everywhere. But in case of, like, where we really need to see what's happening, you know, we don't have it. So. But now I'm living in, so we finally get back here, and thank God our home's okay. Like, there were some other damage and things, and there was some mess and whatever, but we have a home, and we even have our gardens, and it was like, wow. And we did a lot of work before this with fire breaks and maintenance on the property. So a lot of that really worked, you know, like, that paid off. But, you just coming up here, it took so many hours because of the roadblocks and the who are you? Like, the first day they finally let us through, they're like, you have to show proof of residence, you know, and then, like, and so then you have another roadblock and you're waiting, and then you've got, like, a single lane and they're guiding you through, and then you have a whole line of traffic in front of you. Finally get on our road. Yeah, then there's, like, more traffic on our road, and we were trying to get up there. We finally get going home. And pulling up this trailer, and all of a sudden these trucks are coming down, and they're, like, angry that we're there. What are you doing here? I'm like, well, we live here, and we're trying to come, you know, back home. We said we could come home. It took, like, 3-4 hours that day to come home, 30 miles, right? And, oh my gosh, we were so glad to be here, smoke and everything. And then it's like, just since then, and this is about a month now, going to and from town was always, like, an hour to get there, you know, 2 hours for us to go to town and come back, right? Now it's like at least four to five. So we've got, like, and now they're clearing. So now the fires are basically out because we had a lot of rain last week. And so it was really smoky. We got a little bit sick from the smoke. We had weeks of this, like, incredible smoke on us. And because then they start doing back burning. We're like, they're fighting fire with fire, right? So they're lighting more fires. There's more smoke, and, like, and then, so some of that goes wrong. I know sometimes that makes some sense, but, like, there's definitely reports, and especially in Canada this year, people saying that these fires actually were, I think in British Columbia, they're saying, like, they did backburning when they knew that the wind forecast was going to blow it onto our community, and they didn't even tell us they were going to do that. And so there was, like, people lost their homes, and they had to evacuate because of, like, this crazy mismanagement, you know, like, this crazy tactics that, like, don't make sense. And the whole thing to me doesn't make sense in terms of, like, money resources. Like, if you had just had enough people here to fight the fires that might happen, whether or not they happen, like, people salaried people getting paid whether or not they have to fight fires, because as it is, it's mostly contracted work, like, not for the sort of officials, but, like, for anybody that fights fire, firefighters are, like, but
anybody, you know, with a brain, Sharon, yeah. Let's just say they did send people to another state. Right, to fight another fire. There would have had to have been a backup plan to get them people back, or to leave a reserve team here to cope with some, because that's why they're getting paid the big bucks.
Right. Well, it's supposed to be. And that's the thing. Why don't, I mean, in terms of money and finances, it makes a lot more sense to put the fires out early and pay people a lot of money for their jobs, even when they don't do jobs, even if there's no fires all year, like good salaried positions for firefighters to sit on their asses if they need to, instead of scrambling around, having to get all these different people, having to get FEMA involved or whatever, billions of dollars from, you know, feds for the disaster relief, for generator, even just getting the generators in our town to, like, deal with not having power, somehow they paid for that. I mean, you're talking about a lot of money here. And so miles of forest burned, You know, now we've got people, of course, they do salvage logging, and I don't know to what extent they're going to be able to do that, but there's that incentive. There's a lot of financial incentive to let fires burn because you've got people with jobs dependent on fires happening. They don't make money otherwise, the actual firefighters. And then you've got all the other disaster people who also don't really make, you know, money, don't have jobs unless there's disasters. So you've got all these federal employees who need work, right? So, and it's just like, it's just crazy. And it's all taxpayer money. So this is all coming out of our pockets when, you know, it would have been easy. A lot of these fires could have been put out very easily and readily instead of all the disaster they've created. And now there's the contamination of the water issue with the fire retardants. We had really pristine water here, like the most pristine in the country, like the last wild river too, with that supports the last wild salmon run in the country. And like now we've got who knows how many chemicals in the water and how that's going to affect that run in that river, you know, and our drinking water. I mean, people get their water from the river. That's what supports the local communities for all of their water needs. We have a spring, so hopefully our spring's okay, but we don't know for sure. I feel like somebody needs to be testing the water and I shouldn't be paying for that testing.
Shall I put a call into Governor Newsom? I'm sure he'll come.
Would you please? Yeah.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah.
He's
I'm
a
sure
good guy, right? I mean,
sorry,
you know. Right.
So Hitler,
anyway,
sorry.
That's the drama. And yeah. Now we're dealing with the fact that now they're cutting the hazard trees along our road, and we can't drive on it from 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. at all. So we can only leave here before then and come back after then. And so, you know, obviously another that's already been really hard. And they said it could be some weeks now of that.
Do you think this is, Chris mentioned when we had our little technical issues a moment ago, that do you think this is a hit on off-griders?
It felt like it. I mean, the fact is we all came out okay. So that, I don't know what that says about it. I mean, I do think that something happened that we did with our positive intentions. And I don't want to get too new agey, but I really think we have that power. We were focusing on the outcome we wanted in the face of all this negativity and all these maps are showing us and even people telling us on the phone that probably our place burnt. They think it burned. They're telling us basically they think it burned or it will burn and to be prepared for that. And like weirdly with a friendly, this one guy is so friendly and his voice is like, yeah, well, it's going to burn today for sure. Like your place is going to burn. Like, yeah, definitely. It's going to hit those structures. Like, ha ha. Like, oh, la, da. Like, wow. Okay. So we're like, okay, we're going to envision it just okay. And we had all our friends doing this. We contacted you guys too. And everybody we knew, we're like, we're going to do this. And I told my friends, also our friends in other off-grid communities, and we were all focusing on like our homes okay and everything. And then there were a few homes lost, not in the off-grid communities, but in our small town nearby. There were like 10 homes, I think, actually 11, you know, right. They had magically had 11 that were destroyed, you know, the favorite number. So that we had very minimal, I mean, maybe I think one civilian death and a couple firefighters, but compared to like what happened in Hawaii, you know, nothing like that. And I mean, it's really sad driving through the forest here. It just so, I mean, we have lucky around where we live, there's still greenery and some trees, but there's like at least a few miles of just like a bare, I mean, like some have just laid to waste completely, like completely, you know, gone, just gone, like beautiful lush forest, not there anymore. I don't know what's going to, like, this is protected land supposedly, but all that legislation can change. I don't know if they want to, suddenly there's going to be a smart city out in the forest here or what they're going to do, but I really hope not.
A smart forest.
The smart forest. Oh, yeah.
It's strange, you know, because Chris, had you heard of any sort of like, all we'd heard is Hawaii, we'd heard of Portugal, we'd heard of Greece over here, Italy and France, they were saying for some reason all these fires were springing up. But I hadn't heard anything about America for a while, have you, Chris?
No, I was thinking that it wasn't mentioned, was it?
No.
It's no, weird we, how I mean, they not that choose there's a lot of fires here, but they just weren't mentioning. Yeah, they just were focusing on the more dramatic stuff, you know. And even this was made national news at some point, and it sounded like it was going to get FEMA relief and funding, but then I think that didn't happen. And so the fact that they decided not to declare an official disaster when it was like they were weighing that means that like we can't apply for disaster relief money because it's not considered a disaster. So I looked into like, well, do we get money for being homeless for 3 weeks and then also now like hardly being able to work for weeks more because we can't travel? No, it's not considered a disaster. So, yeah,
Who
there's
are
no.
these people? Who are these mutant entities that come up with these decisions that don't affect their lives? I mean, it's weird, isn't it? How, and we're not political, me and Chris, at all, right? And I know you probably aren't, but the Democratic Party is meant to be the lefty, friendly to Joe Public party, aren't they? A bit like the Labour Party over here,
Oh
which is total opposite anyway. Not that
yeah,
I'm
bollocks. They're
talking.
both. They're both. Everything's the
Both the
same.
same, blue or red, and it. But they're not either. The problem, I can't even say they're more evil because they're not. But they're not for the people either. It's just quite obvious.
What I find interesting is they use that same rhetoric as well, where us conspiracy theorists, if you like, we can see a genuine conspiracy behind it, obviously. That all that bureaucracy is meant to make it all fail and go wrong. But then most, like you said, not normies, if you like, they just see it as incompetent, don't they? And it's brilliant, really, because we can see straight through it, but it's just, oh no, they should have done this and we should have done that, and they didn't react quick enough and all that. But it's all bollocks, isn't it? It was clearly orchestrated. Do you reckon they wanted it to be worse than it was? Or
Yeah, it was pretty bad still anyway. I mean, I think they got their goal of like scaring people, plus destroying a lot of natural, beautiful land, plus making it look like there's a climate global warming change problem. You know, like that this is, oh, this fire is so huge, got out of control. Not because of like mismanagement of anything or, you know, slow response, just
Sounds like
because
it.
it's the global warming, right? It's
So
like,
sounds like it could have easily been sorted out. Well, I'm not saying
oh.
easily, but you
Yeah,
we were all
some of
right.
them for sure. Yeah, and ours in particular, definitely. Again, no resources when we needed it. Why? Why no resources? Well, it doesn't make sense. Height of fire season. We have local firefighters, and the fact that they sent our local people to Idaho, and then the next thing I know, I'm talking to a guy on the phone. He's like, he doesn't know where I live and understand what I'm talking about because he's from Idaho.
Well,
Yeah, they sent
weird, isn't it?
their people here, our people there, and they do this in war too, you know, because they don't want soldiers fighting their own home turf, like defending their own people, because they're too emotionally involved,
Yeah, you
right?
just like
And so they might do things to actually protect people and actually protect property. Whereas, like, you get somebody who doesn't care about here, doesn't know the lay of the land or anything, is just going to follow orders, you know, go home, do the
Just like
job.
in the 80s, there was the big miners' strikes over here, the pit workers' strikes in Britain, and they were shipping police from southern England to the north of England to do the battle charges on these picket lines, because obviously they'd got no horse in the
They
race in that
just
area,
saw a lot of unruly people acting crazy, didn't they?
throwing stones at them.
Right.
They had no history behind it or anything.
No, they didn't care.
Yeah.
And that is what they do. I mean, the system, going back to what Chris was saying, on the surface level, it's inept. But when them firemen just stood there watching, they've got to be thinking in their mind that we're not even doing our job here. Because if that were a house fire and they just stood there watching it, they'd probably get sued.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what also happened. One of the off-grid communities that has a little more wealth, you know, and so some of those people who I think are used to, you know, getting things like done that they want done, you know, because of being able to throw money around or whatever. But they are like, hey, they finally like did when put after a few days of like being evacuated, not be able to go home and check on what's going on and stuff. They just like really got in touch. They just like kind of fought their way through that bureaucracy and were like, you need to do something about this fire. It was getting closer and closer to their homes and their properties. Like talking about like million-dollar properties, right? You know, expensive properties. And they're like, why is nobody there? Why is nobody doing anything? And they kind of like meddled, right? And it worked because then finally, suddenly they got people on it and they're doing these like setting up these ponds where they're spraying the houses with water and everything. And so they were like doing that. And so they did save their homes, but if they hadn't said anything and they just were like, well, we'll let them do their jobs and not like actually get involved, then who knows, you know? So I think a lot of people who don't have money or means aren't used to even asserting themselves to sort of say like, hey, you know, you need to be doing this, and they don't have that sense of like authority in the world, you know, so they kind of back down. But that's why usually if there's money, like properties are more worth more involved, there's usually something done about it. Just because I think just be, not because they're saying like, here's money to do it, I'm bribing you, but because they're like, know that they kind of have that sense of themselves as being important and there's things being important, and that they fight for it more, you know. And I think a lot of us can learn a lesson from that and be like, we can stand up too and say something too. But you're met with that attitude sometimes, like, even if you like just assert it yourself, they're like, well, who are you? You know, you don't have money. You're not anybody. Like, so, maybe, and your home maybe when not worth anything.
Maybe when they see the big house, they're worried that they're going to get sued.
They do. And it felt like they were kind of putting more effort. I mean, there's only a few properties where we are in the forest here. And they did seem to like neglect our fire in favor of the ones kind of either threatening more people, which makes sense, or like more expensive properties, you know. But, you know, and they prioritize.
You think by now, though, like right, that. Just like, I'll use a war as a prime example. They've probably got it pretty nailed how to go to war with people. And you think every year, they don't go to war every year. They don't go fight battles every year, but they're preparing to fight a battle in the future, if you like. And surely that's what this would be. Regardless of how we think these things start, For it not to work, this is the ideal plan, not for it not to work properly, isn't it? Because they're throwing hundreds of millions of dollars probably at the fire departments and planning for all this, and people are sat in meetings all year round probably planning for this. Then they're having meetings about what went wrong, and then next year they do the same thing again. And
I think meetings internationally should just be banned because they never achieve anything, do they?
Well, it depends what you mean by that, Chris, because if you have a meeting in a business, for argument's sake, generally a lot of the stuff happened. I mean, meetings I was involved with, it happened because you made sure it happened.
Yeah, but even then, I'm sure you remember a lot of bloody fat around.
I'm not saying
that you used to think, oh, God, this is ever going to
happen. I agree, yeah. However, what I'm trying to say is that these meetings when they're councillors or government officials, totally different from a business meeting.
Yeah.
Because you've got an outcome in a business meeting. You want to sell something
you want to make your time efficient. Exactly. They don't want to make the time efficient. They want to sit around wasting time.
Well, they want to suck time, don't they? Right. Because that's how they get paid. You know, the longer it goes on, the more they get, like you said.
We all know those people, don't we? You know, just sitting around eating biscuits and drinking coffee. More concerned about which biscuits they've got for the meeting.
I mean, really, it was so surreal to just go to these meetings or talk to the bureaucrats involved and just trying to get information. And this just the kind of way they were just relaxed and taking their time with everything. And you're like, my home is going to burn. Do you understand? And my forest is burning. Like, you're just like, well, we're just going to have our meetings. And, you know, it felt like being in a war in the sense of like the actual effect of it on the people, or the power outages and like the roadblocks and no work and not being able to go home. And, you know, so many people evacuated, not being able to go home and travel and have their normal lives.
But that's the, it's like war. That's the psychological effect that they want it to be like. Mm-hmm. Because the last 3-4 years, and certainly where you live since whatever 2017. Because, do you know, going back, and I've never looked at this, because what were calling them wildfires as well? It's there used to be forest fires, didn't there? But the wildfires now,
They happened every year in America, every year in Australia.
Yeah.
They even happened in Yorkshire, used to happen on the moors.
Yeah, they did. Every now and again, generally, there were people having a barbecue. I remember the Paradise ones. The early reports were, it had nothing to do with climate. It was somebody having one of those disposable barbecues.
Yeah, if you read the reports, they'll say, like, man-made or not, you know, like, a lot of them say man-made, like, cause. They don't say the details necessarily disclosed to the public, but they say caused by, like, a person or persons. Like, it wasn't, none of them ever say officially caused by climate change.
No, but that's the perception they give you, isn't it?
That's the perception. Yeah, that's what the media does. Yeah.
And the weirdest thing is that you're not allowed to help or go back to your house. Surely it should be up to you to, if you want to risk yourself, to go and try and save your house. I'm going back 10, 20 years, we'd all been stood around throwing buckets of water on it.
Well, right. Yeah. It's just, which probably could have been more effective.
I mean, what's going to be next, Shannon? Is it going to be, we're here to save you, and we've got some camp set up over here?
Well, and they did have a camp set up, actually, in our town. They said, if you need a place to stay, you know, then here's the big building. It's the fairgrounds doubling as like the, you know, refugee camp. Yeah. And of course, it's a bunch of cots laid out. They've got some crappy bottled water and some showers for you. And it's all right under the masts, you know, the cell towers, like right, the big ones, you know, right under that. Yeah. And it's a night, and I'm like, well, I can't stay here. And it smells like chemicals come in. There's hand sanitizers all over the place. And the last time we had fires and we had to evacuate 3 years ago, they weren't letting people use the fairgrounds for that because of COVID, because of they couldn't social distance people. Right. And so they were like, so no people who actually
so make use
of that couldn't even go there. And they're like, well, they're talking about, well, maybe putting them up in hotels, which actually would have been better for them. Like, sure, put us up in hotels, but they're just having their meetings and trying to figure it out while people have nowhere to go. And like, you know, we're resourceful. We're used to camping. I can't sleep in
weird,
a bunch of people on cots in this room anyway. But, you know,
It's strange, isn't it? They can let, in America, thousands of Mexicans over. And in Europe here, thousands of people coming in on boats and ships. If you say what about it, you're obviously racist.
You're starting to sound like a right-wing extremist.
I am sounding like a
coming over here on the boat, taking our job.
The plan set up. They throw millions of pounds or millions of dollars at it. These people get put up in hotels. Your house is on fire. There's a few, I don't know how many people, a lot less than the people coming over the borders, and they can't even do that for you guys. Why you know it's set up to fail.
I know. Yeah, it's like, right. And, you know, you had to, I asked about using a shower because we haven't had showers for like a week or so, and they said only if you register with us and you're staying here. It's like the Red Cross. I'm like, I'm not gonna do that, you know.
Register.
Yeah, register.
Don't refer.
Then you're like signing this stuff. You're like, oh, we're gonna, like, they're signing, you don't know what you're signing. You're like, oh, we could quarantine you, take you to a FEMA camp indefinitely. You know?
You're only allowed in if you've got a Red Cross app.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then guess what? They were like, they gave us I was reading, like, my friend's trying to help me, like, oh, it looks like they have, like, gift cards up to, like, $250 you can get just from the firefighters for something. And so, like, one of those people were, like, the Red Cross people, like, oh, you can have a $100 gift card, go to whatever place, call this person, whatever. And I went somewhere else, they're, like, they had the cards, and I was, like, oh, this must be the $100 gift card. You know, they gave me this gift card, along with, like, some crappy, like, some of the food was okay, but they gave us some, like, free food. This was, like, just people, local people setting this up, though, you know, it wasn't really, like, a government or anything. And so I find out this gift card for like, not even in our town, for a store in our town, but like a big kind of, you know, mall type big store, right? Fred Meyer, in a different town in Oregon. So we had to travel farther. I finally go there after all this settles down. I went there anyway. And I'm thinking I have $100 to spend, and I'm like getting stuff and go to the checkout. It's $20. I'm like, oh, great. Oh my God, they gave me a $20 gift card. Thanks for having to drive, you know, another hour away. It's like amazing.
Mental, isn't it? But, all right. Should we wrap this out?
We're talking about the fire, but
yeah. Well, it's all right because
we talked about cosmetic surgery for 20 minutes.
We did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
No, but it's relevant, very relevant stuff because I'm sure they're going to be doing more of this shenanigans, aren't they?
Unfortunately, I think that's the direction. You know, they did the pandemic, and they're still now they got people compliant with the sort of like COVID's here forever, like the flu, and you just get your combo shot with the flu shot and COVID every year. And like, then everything's going to be okay, right? Because of, also, you know, amazing modern medicine saving the day.
We've got people however, more compliant with being looked after as well. We'll solve your problems, even though we're just going to fanny around for God knows.
Yeah, and now it's like the next thing is the climate card for sure, because that's just enables a lot more restrictions. And they're even conditioning us to like, it's not even the police always at these roadblocks. Mostly it's just like, Forest Service, I don't know, like unelected bureaucrats, you know, like people just like that are suddenly authorities that we didn't say are like we didn't actually vote for or say that they're agree to that. It's like, but we have to obey them. So we have it getting conditioned to be like, well, random people can come in and say like they have authority and you can't go here. I mean, my partner didn't, after we've been living back here again for like a week or so, was trying to come home after working somewhere for the day. And, you know, and we even like we're respecting to go certain hours. I mean, the road's only partially open anyway, the main road in terms of certain hours. And then you have the pilot car. It just takes forever to do anything. So he's coming back after all this already and waiting. And somebody on the road, young girl, you know, hadn't been there before. She's new here. I don't know where she's from, not from here. And she's in her truck and she's like, you can't go up past here. It's the road is closed. And he's like, I live up there. I just left this morning. I've been there for like a week, you know, like, no, it's closed. She's like, I'm sorry. It was a really funny story. Cause she's like, says a, such a weird like 10 minutes or something. He's staring at her and going like, I'm going to go home. I'm going home. And she's looking at him and going, yeah, I understand. I'm sorry, but it's, I understand it's hard for you, but you can't.
I'm going anywhere.
It's like, I'm going home. And he's like,
at this moment in time, I'm being polite. I will be going past you.
Sorry, I can't, like, you can't, you know, she's just like, you can't. And I'm like, he's like, I can't even communicate with my partner who's waiting there, like, for me to come home. And she's like, so finally, he's like, get on your radio to the authority and like talk to them about this, because he's like, I'm going home. So finally she comes back. She's like, oh, sorry, I didn't realize you had the go ahead. And like, I mean, amazing. Yeah,
that's
right?
The future. That's the future.
That is the future. Yeah. The automatron future.
Oh, they'll be robots. They won't even be people. You cannot pass here.
They'll
blend in with the people with the Botox.
20 minutes to comply.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Botox and the massive dingy lips. And sorry if anybody's ever had that done while we're listening, but
if I've taken the piss out of tattoos and stuff. Picture of that woman, the cat, like famous woman they call the Cat Woman.
Yeah.
That's how bad it can get. It's scary. Like, that's what's happening. A lot of people are starting to look like her. That used to look like really freakish to most people like 10 years ago but now it's just like not that different, right?
Yeah, it's gone past that startled look, hasn't it? Constant startled look, that frozen look, like
laugh like this.
you do the eyes like this, and then you got the lips.
But so, the thing is, just to go back on that, we don't even know
like Chris.
What's going to happen to that person? What's going to happen to him in 20? We've got no idea.
Are we back on that again now?
Yeah. We should do another show about cosmetic surgery.
Yeah, we should do, the experts of cosmetic surgery.
Yeah.
I love that it's called Botox. Like, it's actually, they're telling you it's a toxin.
We just
inject you with this toxin so that it'll freeze your face in place. Don't worry about it. I can't take it badly.
Safe and effective.
The big craze in Britain at the moment is people going to Turkey and having the teeth done. And they call them turkey teeth.
bright white, yeah. Look like
the
bright,
bright white, like they swallowed a crate of milk. So they're all flying to Turkey, going on holiday for a couple of weeks.
Are they doing a special procedure there, or is it just that it's cheaper?
It's cheaper.
Cheaper. Like, it could be done wherever. Yeah,
you could be done wherever. It's just cheaper there. It's like two for one, like a dry cleaning.
You know, I lived in Turkey. I speak Turkish.
Right, how do you?
Yeah.
It's a nice place.
I've never been to Turkey.
Beautiful place.
I've never been to Turkey.
Yeah, I lived there for like 3 years. I'm a Turkish citizen.
Oh, are you?
I think I still have it. I don't know. I haven't been there in 20 years, but...
Right. Yeah. Was that for work then, or just traveling?
I was working and traveling, but I went there for a job, a conservation job, actually.
Right.
For the Mediterranean monk seal, they're like seals, and they wanted, anyway, did some like education stuff with kids there and like photography. And then I was a photojournalist though, and I ended up working for magazines because I found that I could get work there a lot more easily. I was kind of like a big fish there because I had this background in photojournalism already. There wasn't a lot of competition, so I was like writing for magazines and taking photos for them. So, and like tutoring some kids, rich kids in English as well.
Right.
I'd love to go to Turkey for snorkeling. I love snorkeling.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did some great
stuff. They've got the underwater ruins there, haven't they?
Yeah, that's true. You can do the glass bottom boat tours. I've done some of those. you got to make sure you get, I don't know if it's still like this, but you got to travel at least like a mile offshore to get into the water there, because there's just human excrement into the water everywhere. They don't do anything with it. They just dump it. All the toilets just like flush into the oceans.
Nice.
It's pretty nasty. Yeah.
I'm sure it's worse now than it was then.
I don't know if it's worse.
It might have got better.
It might have got better. Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton might have been over and cleaned up some plastic bottles.
Yeah. Lewis Hamilton sorts it all out.
Yeah.
With his stick on dreadlocks. Yeah. Right. Okay. We'll wrap it up there and we'll get Shannon back to talk about some other stuff in a few weeks. Maybe.
Yeah, about like things in my book. This stuff will be the future book.
I'm going to say that's a blooming thriller. That is
next book. But but I have some. Yeah, there's some good, you know, thrilling stories in this book too. I always try to like get some juicy stuff in there, and you know, my writing, and make it exciting, so educational and exciting and horrifying.
Yeah, well, I think this will be. It might get. It might go out in a couple of weeks because we've got quite a lot of stuff stacked up behind us coming out.
Right.
But it might go. It'll probably go on YouTube this hour. That's why it's going
An
hour.
Yeah, it could go on YouTube, couldn't it?
Yeah, because it's not. We didn't mention the medical. You've just said it now. But,
well, yeah, now you just
No, we did earlier.
Yeah, we'll get away with it.
I actually think that this talking about the forest stuff is like kind of taboo too. These fires and the climate things start to be like under. They're getting the wind of that and kind of censoring. The censors are getting onto that too. You know,
bastards.
Yeah, that guy. The guy used to do all the paradise stuff. He had about 15 channels done.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yeah. Jamie Lee, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Remember him, Shannon?
He used to do some good stuff, about the paradise.
Yeah, called A Plain Truth. A Plain Truth.
And I think I looked the other day and he was on Plain Truth 3 years ago, and I think he got up to about Plain Truth 16 or 17.
Yeah. He's got a bit wiser now, I'd keep them on. But Plain Truth, if you go to A Plain Truth 3, he's got a series of about 10 from the Paradise Fires.
Okay.
Where he was driving around interviewing people.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, okay then. We will. Thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, you guys.
Send me over that email. Send me over that email address where people can email you for if they want to buy a book.
Yeah, then go to my website and there's a contact form.
There, okay.
So you can email there. But yeah, wifi-refugee.com, and then my other book, Wi-Fi Refugee, is there, and the co-authored one with John. And you can get all three of those books on either Amazon or Barnes and Noble.
Right. Cool.
Do we have Barnes and Noble over here?
I think so.
I think you do. I think you can get it there. Yeah.
I'll have a look.
Question. I actually, now that you're saying that, I think so, but
somebody
not.
Will tell us we can or we can't, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'll have a look. Yeah. I don't know if that's an American company. I'm not sure.
I mean, I think it is, but I think they do international. I don't know if you can buy it, obviously, from us, from their site anywhere, but they might have international shipping that's exorbitant or something, but I don't know if they have like a UK one where you don't have to do the shipping like that,
Okay, then we'll wrap up.
Yeah.
otherwise we'll talk about some sort of facelift or something like that again.
I really like it. Those are interesting topics to me, though. We could do another show.
Yeah. Transhumanism is a good topic.
Talk about anything, can't you? It's a bottomless pit.
Yeah, but the bottomless pit, of sludge. All right, we're going. We'll see you next time.
Cheers, Shannon.
See you soon.
Bye.
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 See you.